Sure, you may know that quality content is essential to your online business. But have you ever stopped to think about how the words you use to talk about what you do are so much more than what you write on a sales page? That's what I'm diving into in today's episode with my amazing guest, Jess Giordana, where she shares how your words can create your entire world, no exaggeration. Copywriting runs so much deeper than just your tagline or program statement. It can connect on a whole other level to share your story and your heart with those you love to work with. Join us as Jess fills you in on the exact mindset you need to create connection-led conversions that feel good for both you and the clients you serve, plus grow your business because of it. You're listening to One Simple Shift, and I'm your host, Amanda Joyce Weber, the mindset coach and business mentor that believes it is possible to have a beautiful, balanced life and a successful, thriving business. In fact, what if success wasn't as complicated as everyone was making it out to be? What if the magic formula you've been looking for has been you all along? Each week, I cut through the noise and bring you one simple, actionable mindset shift you can implement today to completely transform the way you show up daily and the results you see because of it. All success starts with the right mindset, and it's time that you create the life and business you've always dreamed of. Let's get started. My guest today is Jess Giordana. Jess is a copywriter, aka heart translator, who helps creative business owners turn their passion into words people actually get. She runs JessXO, a copywriting agency for creative entrepreneurs, is the founder of the Promptlet Shop, and host of the Feel Wealthy Show. She drinks iced coffee all year round and firmly believes that if date night isn't tacos, you're doing it wrong. She couldn't do a day in a business without her cute hubs, Presley, her toddler firecracker, Parker Jane, and her doodle pup, Joey Tribbiani. She's worked with everyone from solopreneurs to organizations like the Rising Tide Society, The Guide Culture, Sabrina Phillip, Lacey Seitz, and The Social Bungalow. She is so grateful to be able to navigate what building and rebuilding her dream business can look like in balance with building her dream life. Jess, welcome to One Simple Shift. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and chat with you.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. So I read your bio, but I would love to hear in your own words. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and why you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, for the past five and a half, almost 6 years, have been a copywriter for 6 and 7 figure business owners. Most people know what a copywriter is now. It's a little bit more well-known than when I started. When I first started out, people thought I was like stamping a copyright on things. Like even my parents were like, what do you mean you like copyright? So most people know what it is, but in case you're unfamiliar, I basically write words that sell for business owners. And so if you own a business, if you have kind of been a part of a business, you probably know that the reason you started your business was for your passion, but you didn't really sign up to also be a writer, or at least most people did not. So I come in and assist with that. And so I have worked with a lot of amazing business owners on things like writing, rewriting their websites, launches, email marketing funnels, all of that good stuff. But the why behind what I do, I feel like it was different when I started than it is now. When I started, the why was because I wanted something of my own and because I really wanted to get into the online business world. And I joke that I never set out to do copywriting. That was just my kind of entry into the business world. But I feel like now my why, especially after having my daughter and all of that kind of stuff, is much deeper. And it's part of what we're going to talk about today. But I am so passionate about words in general. I'm actually not that passionate about copy. Like, I feel like copy is definitely a tool. It's something that I'm great at. It's something that I help a lot of people with. But the thing that I struggle with in my own life more than copy is the words inside of my own head and the words that I use to kind of create my day-to-day life. And that is where I feel like we have so much power to change people. And copy is just like a small piece of being able to do that for your audience. It's planting the seed of an idea for somebody that didn't realize they had a certain potential. It's showing somebody a certain way that they can do something that they never knew was possible before. And so I feel like copy is like a small arm of that, but I feel like my true passion is behind the fact that words like literally create the world that you live in. And that is so, so powerful if we can learn to wield it correctly.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love this so much. So I think a lot of people, especially, you know, getting into business. And then even, I know you mentioned in your bio, rebuilding a business or, you know, navigating the windy path that is entrepreneurship, often find a time where, you know, the words kind of have to change. And like, yes. Because like what I think happens a lot of times is like, as we evolve, our messaging also evolves, right? And I think that, you know, it can become this kind of identity crisis, I guess, is what I would say there. And absolutely. Like feeling like there, oh my gosh, there's so much content, there's so much messaging that now needs to be like shifted there. So I know you're a big fan of your words creating your world, but can you share with us, like, what do we even look at? Like, where do we even get started with something like that?
Yeah, so I feel like business owners, when it comes to copy, you tend to approach things what I would call backwards. And that is, a lot of business owners nowadays approach things from what is going to work, like what is going to convert, what is going to get people to buy this thing that I'm doing. And I think that that is challenging because it works if you believe it. And so like, there's just this like really difficult intertwined nature between belief and conversion that I think is really tricky for non-writers, because when you sit down to write a sales page or you sit down to write a sales email, you're like, okay, what do I write that's going to work? Like that just does not even cross your mind. So where I like to kind of reorient people is, instead of thinking what will work, how can I write something that will work? Instead, think what is true. What is true right now of this offer that I'm writing about? What is true right now of me, of what I give to people, of what I bring to the table? What feels so true about why I think people need this thing? And when you approach it from that angle, you're going to come into it with so much more fire, with so much more passion, because a lot of times when business owners are working to write something that will convert, or they're in the process of, maybe you're working with a copywriter, but you're in the process of trying to like wade through a pivot or something like that, the words that I hear so often are, well, what will work? And I just have to bring you back to, well, what's true? And I think that that's so helpful.
Yeah, totally. And I think what really resonates with me about what you just said is how much the belief really factors into the writing. Mm-hmm. I know in the very beginning of my business, I struggled so much. Even just like getting words on a page felt so hard because it was clouded with all of those things that you talked about. Like, well, what will work? Will it sound silly? Is this going to get the point across? Is this actually going to resonate with people? You know, and I think mm-hmm. that, you know, content, especially as a coach, is such a big part of how we get our workout into the world. So I think that that shift you just mentioned of like, well, what is true here is like the thing I needed to hear way back then, which mm-hmm. is so helpful, because I think when you approach it from that angle, you're not, you almost get to like pick up the imposter syndrome and like put it over there for a second, because mm-hmm. you get to say, okay, this feels really true for me. This feels really important for me to share. This feels like it's going to add value. And like that all feels true. And I think starting mm-hmm. with that actually helps with so much of the mindset stuff that can stand in the way of writing. So I just love that perspective yeah. shift there so much.
Absolutely. And I think too that it's important to remember that really a lot of the purpose of copy is to build trust and to build a reputation. And that happens invisibly. Like that almost cannot be seen. And I know that people want to tell you that it can be seen in terms of engagement and all of that kind of stuff. But it truly, especially with how people are engaging on the internet now, it is happening in a way that you can't see. So whenever you think about what are those building blocks of trust that I'm putting out into the world? If you were to put something out someday that you're like, oh, well, somebody said this converts, but I don't really believe it. Would that be a solid building block to build trust on top of? Probably not. And like, what if that one post blew up and you had 20 new clients coming to you based off of that one belief that you didn't actually believe? That would be a travesty. So
that's a problem. Like, yeah.
Yes. Just like thinking about it in terms of that, I know that that makes copy and content sound really weighty, but it really is, because people are trying to composite a picture of you in their brains based on your online presence. And so every word that you put out is really contributing to that picture that they're creating of you. And so I think that reminding yourself that it really is important, even if you don't get that like immediate direct feedback, is essential.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. So how can we start thinking about conversion copywriting without completely like forgetting the conversion side of it? Because I think that's the question that comes up for me here. Like, I am all for, you know, it feeling true for you. I am all for it really resonating and being what you build that foundation on. And I know that there are people listening to this who are like, definitely like, yeah, but I also want it to work, right? want to get more of the right people and because of it. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the kind of frame to think about this through at this moment in time is that the only thing that is going to set you apart right now is your story, is your ability to connect with your audience based on AI being really present in the content creation world. AI, the only thing AI doesn't really have is experience, is an experience. And so I think that that's something to really remember to infuse into your copy. And I think that that's a really easy place to approach it from. Now, I'm going to break that down because I know a lot of people are like, storytelling, la, 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 la. And like, it can be a little like up here. But I think that is, so the thing I want to say about conversion is that the word conversion, the definition of it, is literally to change from one state into another. So conversion in our online business world generally is used to describe the sale, to describe when somebody pays you money. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of micro conversions that are happening before somebody pays you money. So the first micro conversion is them going from a stranger to somebody who's slightly invested in you. Is another micro conversion is them going from somebody who's slightly invested to maybe somebody who gets a quick win from a piece of your content. There is converting people from just followers on Instagram to maybe subscribers on your email list. So all of those things are conversions that are contributing to the macro conversion of them eventually buying from you. So with that in mind, if you want something that is powerful enough to change someone's state, that is an emotional thing, and that requires emotionally tapped in content and copy. So I think where a lot of people get hung up, especially those of us business owners who are building on expertise, we try to just expertise the heck out of people and then get them to the sale. And there is a sea of expertise right now. And so they need to become invested in you as an expert. And the only way to do that is to tap into your story. So I don't know if we want to pause right there and see if you want to respond to anything, and then we can dive a little bit deeper into like what is storytelling kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think what you said is so valuable because I think that this is one of those things that, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but I feel like when we're younger, storytelling is so innate, right? It's like such a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you come home and you want to tell mom and dad what it was that you did at school that day, or you're reading stories at bedtime, or, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of comes up all the time. And I think it's something that fades into the background to an extent as an adult. And we all forget that we really have the power to tell stories. It's funny. I have a friend who is just like one of the best storytellers I think I have ever met. And she's one of those people where she'll be like, oh my gosh, this happened to me. Can I tell you about it? And there's no way that you will ever say no to that question because she's just like so excited to tell you. Like it could be the most mundane thing, but she will tell it in like the most interesting way. And it always like struck a chord with me because I'm just like, man, if we all had that level of engagement and excitement in the stories that we told, like you can't help but be captivated by it, right? You can't help but feel like you're there. You can't help but feel that emotional connection that you're talking about. And I think that the beautiful piece of this is like, because it was such a part of us as children, there's always a way to return to that, right? It's just that we're out of the habit, we're out of the practice, or we're not thinking about it that way. So we don't even have the mindset that says, like, how can I actually connect with my stories? And how can that be the thing that I share? So
yeah,
I just love that so much. And I think it's one of these things that like, we just get to get better and better at as business owners and use it. You know, I think it's fun to tell these stories too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So my husband and I went to a movie last night. We went to go see Boys in the Boat. And it is basically the story of this Washington rowing team, that won the Olympics right before World War II. And they were like these underdogs and it's like a very popular book. So I'm sure many people know the story, but I love this type of movie so much, an underdog sort of movie, because people, it's like just a combination of people challenging themselves in something that they don't think is possible, and then they accomplish it. And I just, at the end of the movie, I'm like, I'm so excited for them, but I also like want to go do something. Like I'm like, yes. I want to go like conquer something like that. But the difference is with movies, they don't really relate it back to you. Like there's not a narrator coming in saying, so Jessica, how do you feel about your strength whenever you step into something new for the first time? You know, like nobody's going to do that. So typically after movies, we don't go and take any sort of action. But another kind of example of this is when you go to a conference, or if you like maybe grew up in like a community where you would go to church camp or something like that, and you have these same sort of like stories and connections that happen throughout the week, and you're like, I want to do something, and somebody helps you make a plan. Most people at conferences will help you make an action plan to go do something after you leave. And that is one of the most powerful ways to kind of quantum leap into something new, because you're taking this emotional kind of like pent up momentum and you're applying it to something really defined. And so that's what I like to talk people through in terms of telling their own stories. I think storytelling can seem a little narcissistic, for lack of a better word. I mean, like, am I just telling stories because I want people to know about me? No, you're telling stories to ignite an emotional reaction. And then what you're going to do is you're going to relate it directly back to your audience in a way that applies to what you do, to the action you want them to take, all of that kind of stuff. So there are different entry points that we can kind of use for that. The three main stories that I tell people, there are five typical stories, but I'm going to talk about mostly three here, are your origin story, your failure story, and then your audience's current journey. So your origin story is probably one that you have heard before. It's basically like the podcast question. How did you get to where you are today kind of thing? And I like to start people on this one because it's an easy one to just like brain dump. But if you're listening, get out a piece of paper, or after the podcast, get out a piece of paper and kind of just brain dump your origin story. Like, how did you get to this point in your life? And don't think about how it relates to your audience at all. Just dump it out. But then what I like to do is I go back with like a highlighter of some kind and I read through the story with my audience in mind to think through, are there any events that maybe they've experienced too? Are there any feelings that they have also experienced? Are there any desires that they also have? And go through my own story and kind of pull those things out. And that is going to become how you tell your story. It's kind of like having a coffee date with somebody. You're not going to sit down with somebody new and just be like, blah, 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 this is my story. You're going to stop and say, when I was in college, I really struggled to find the right major. Did you like stick with your major the first time? Like, you're going to go back and forth a little bit. And that's what I encourage you to do with stories in your copy and your content, is you tell a little bit, then you relate it back, you tie it back to your audience, then you tell a little bit more, you tie it back. And what that's going to do is that is going to bring them in to the story rather than letting them sit as a bystander. And that's the thing that makes them really want to take action whenever they get to the end of it.
Ooh, there is so much goodness here. I love this so much. I think what you said about like them feeling like they're being brought into the story is something that I don't think I've ever thought about before. It's probably something I've done instinctively, but not in that way, right? Like, not really thinking like, okay, how can I speak directly to them here? But I just love that so much because it does kind of create that like energetic back and forth, they're in there with you rather than that, like, I'm just talking at you, you know, giving you a lecture feeling. And I think that's amazing. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like a lot of it feels more natural, and kind of what I see a lot in content is for somebody to just tell their story and then at the very end relate it back. But it's more powerful to do it throughout. Because it's less of a shift at the end. Like, if you start out and it's just like your story, your story, your story, oh, this is me now kind of thing, like that feels kind of jolting. But if you start out and you're like bringing them in with you, it's less friction to kind of get them to be there with you at the end. So that's why I kind of am a proponent of doing it throughout. And that is the same thing is true of emails. The same thing is true of web pages, sales pages, like any of that kind of stuff where you tell any bit of your story, relating it back to your audience throughout is going to help so, so much.
Know you need to be selling more than you are, but aren't feeling 100% confident in how to talk about your offer in a way that feels authentic to you? I've got you covered, because starting now, you can grab my totally free, absolutely beautiful sales slides to use on Instagram stories. But I'm not just handing over the Canva template either, though you totally get that too. I'm also giving you an amazing value-packed workbook in Google Docs where you can nail down the details of your offer, know exactly what to say to get it out there, and have your potential clients next level excited to buy from you. No more thinking and overthinking about what to write. No more stressing and obsessing that your design doesn't match what you have in your head. No more putting it off for when you have a brand you feel better about. You, me, these slides now. Be sure to grab them at the link in the show notes and don't forget to share them with me because I absolutely want to see and cheer you on. Okay, so we have origin story and I know you mentioned two others, but then my head went blank. So tell us again what those two were.
Yeah, so the same concept of like how you do it really applies to these other two stories as well. But the second one is your failure story. And I think that this is one that, so origin story can also be classified as a hero's journey as well, if you've like heard it said like that. But the failure story is something that I don't see a lot of newer or kind of in the middle business owners using. I see a lot of business owners who are much further along telling failure stories. But I think that it's something that can be really scary when you first start out, because you feel like, oh, I'm trying to establish authority here. Like, I'm trying to show people that I know what I'm doing. But if you can show somebody how you have failed before, and relate that back to their journey in some way, or relate that back to what you do now in some way, that is a really, really powerful way to connect with people. One of the stories that I tell most often is like part of my most embarrassing like experience in my life. And that was when I had my very first day of teaching. I was 22 years old and I stepped into the high school classroom for the first time. I was teaching high school seniors. So they were like 3-4 years younger than me, maybe. And I had never been in a classroom before. I didn't student teach anything. And I'm a high achiever, right? So I wrote out an 8-page typed speech for my first day in the classroom, because I was like, I'm going to nail this. Like, this is going to be awesome. And the speech, spoiler alert, was entirely about me. I cringe like even saying it now, but it was basically about like, here's who I am, here's why I'm qualified, and this is why my class is going to be the best ever. And I cannot even tell you how many coaches, online business owners' posts look like this, or even like sales pages or services pages look like this. And I knew nothing about the kids that were in front of me. And I can almost feel the sweat like trickling down my sides whenever I talk about this story. Yeah. But I was like reading at my podium off of these pages, and there were these 18-year-olds, like three girls in the back were huddled doing their makeup with their backs to me. Everybody had their phones out. This one sweet little girl was in the front and she was like nodding her head and like trying to be so, so nice. But everybody else was just like talking. And it was a 90-minute class, and I got to the end of my speech in like 12 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I don't know what to do now. So all of that said, the rest of my journey as a teacher was figuring out, okay, how can I always make everything relate to them? Because they're not going to give a flying F about a thesis statement unless it is either fun or it's something that's going to get them what they want. And so I had to start like kind of framing my lessons, framing my units, all of this stuff with either something that somebody wanted or something that was interesting to them. Like chicken was wildly interesting. We would like compare and contrast like chicken fast food restaurants all the time, and that was like their favorite thing. But I had to learn that it didn't matter what I had to say if it wasn't going to get through to them. So one, that's an illustration of a failure story, because it genuinely is very embarrassing for me to tell that story, but it relates to what I do in such an in such a powerful way. But that also kind of shows you the reason why you can't just tell your story just to tell your story. It really has to have your audience in mind. And so that is kind of how I illustrate both of those things.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. I am loving this conversation so much. I think one of the big fears that comes up for people, I think you spoke to at the beginning there, which is, but what if no one wants to hire me after that, right? Like, what if I tell this embarrassing story and it falls flat and now like business is ruined or whatever, insert thing here. So what do you have to say to like people who are like, oh my God, cringe, I cannot put that out there?
I mean, number one, we're not telling failure stories just for the sake of failure stories. I mean, the point of it is to find a story that you can relate back to something. And your failure story, there doesn't have to just be one. So you can have kind of some of these that you cycle through. But I also think they will hire you. Like if you think, like put yourself in the position of a consumer. And when somebody is vulnerable with you and has something valuable to say about it, doesn't that just like make us want to latch onto them even more because we know that they're human, and that just makes them a three-dimensional person. And that's going to be the thing that sets you apart in the online industry, is being a three-dimensional human instead of being a robot that cranks out content that you put into ChatGPT or whatever. So I think that the thing that you think might crash everything down in your business is often the thing that you need to do in order to blow things up. And I've had to learn that a million times over in my business to kind of be able to get to where I am now.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think that's such great perspective to have. And also just what you said about being a three-dimensional human, I think is so, so applicable, especially I think about like the context in which we're hiring people, right? Like you're hiring a coach to coach you through like some of the like most intense shit you will deal with, you know, like, or you're like hiring someone to be on your team and you want someone who is a three-dimensional human who is like a real person, right? Like you don't want a robot in any of these positions. And like that would actually be not the result that you're calling in, you know? So I think just remembering too, like the same is true for the people who are hiring you. Like they feel so much more connected. They feel like you're a real human. They feel like you get it. And like those are the people we always want to buy from more so than like people who come off as like perfect or robotic or, you know, stale or insert thing here. And yet I think it's one of those like really hard lines for us to walk because of how much can come up in the process of being like, oh, okay, like I'm telling this story, right? I'm appearing as a three-dimensional human, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the kind of going off of what you were saying in terms of like why we hire people, one of the biggest reasons that we do hire people is because our values align. And I think a lot of people struggle to write meaningful copy and content that can unearth their values other than like, these are my values, like that you kind of slap on your website or whatever. But what these stories do is they give you a frame or a kind of playground to be able to talk about those values in a really natural way. Because most of the time, whenever you fail, either the way you handle it is according to your values, or it teaches you one of your values or whatever. Same thing with your origin story. Like your values are being formed as you are originating into whatever you're in now. And so I think that that is, it gives you a way that's interesting to be able to talk about it. And those are things that your audience really wants to know, that your potential clients really want to know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So good. Okay. We're on a roll. What's the third story?
Yes. So the third story is obviously your audience's current journey. And so you really need to know from a story standpoint where your audience is right now. And I like to think of this from a story standpoint because a lot of times we think of it in terms of a list. So we think like, okay, my ideal client, my audience, they are women, they are, 24 to 60 or something. Like it just is very broad and it's very kind of like prescriptive. But if you think about it in terms of telling a story, like where is your person right now? What are they desiring? What are they wanting? What blocks are they coming up against? Like, can you tell that in a story format? And if you sit down with a journal, please trust me, even if you're not a journaler, if you sit down with a journal and you just let yourself dump this out, no matter if it's right, wrong, whatever, you're going to come to the end of the page, the end of a couple of pages, and you're going to know your audience so much better just because you sat down and intentionally thought about them as three-dimensional humans. And I think that that's something that we forget to do when it comes to our audiences.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, totally. And I think that It's almost so easy to skim over that part is what I would say. Like, it's so easy to sit down and be like, okay, I just have to write the email, or I just have to write the sales page, or I just have to get the thing done and out. And yet what you're talking about here in terms of like the connection piece coming to the forefront and really like taking a moment to journal it out, to connect with it, to like, I mean, it sounds obvious, but like, think about it, you know, like go a layer deeper there. And I think that that is just such a game changer in itself, because then we're not just taking the action for the sake of it. We're actually taking the action with that right mindset, which is going back to what works. Like, that's the thing that translates. That's the thing that works, because we actually have the person in mind that we're looking to speak to there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're also going to find that as you're writing out this story, you can't do it for more than one person. And I know that the overarching marketing advice is like, speak to one person, but a lot of people like skirt around that, you know? And it's not that I think you have to like be so, so niche down in order to be able to sell anything, but when you are selling something, you have to be speaking to one person. That doesn't mean it can't speak to other people in the process. But if you have multiple people in your mind, or if you have just a generality in your mind, it's not going to be powerful enough. So I think it's a really good way to kind of not let yourself get around the one person sort of mentality, to have to like write out this whole story, because it's not going to be the same story of like, if I'm a copywriter and I serve six-figure business owners who are doing everything on their own and don't have a big team or whatever. And then I also serve seven-figure business owners that do have a big team and are running a bunch of launches and all of that kind of stuff. Like, those are, one's not right, one's not wrong, one's not better, but they are wildly different people in wildly different situations. And if I want to speak to their current plight, their current desires, then I have to do that in a nuanced way. So I think that that is just a really powerful exercise.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to do this later. Like, I feel like everyone should do this. Yes, I think it's so helpful too, because I think a lot of people, going back to what you said, like, even if you're not a journaler, I think so many people are like averse to journaling because they don't know what to journal about, right? And I think sometimes that's
trying
the resistance. Trying to get it right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the resistance. So if you can be like, okay, like, I'm just going to give myself space to like, just like dump out what's in my head here and have a prompt to go with, I feel like that's like two boxes checked that make it like infinitely easier, you know?
For sure. Yeah. And I think like, one of the things that I always, always teach is, and I taught this to my high school kids too, is that your brain literally cannot create and edit at the same time. Like, that happens in two separate parts of the brain. And what we often try to do is sit down and get the right thing out. And what that is doing is it's trying to create and edit at the same time. And so editing wins, and it just stamps everything out that might be in your brain. And so that's oftentimes why we find we don't have any ideas, or we don't feel like we have the right ideas, or we feel writer's block or stumped, is because we're not separating those pieces of the process. And so if you do this exercise, use this to practice, okay, I'm just going to create. I'm not going to filter. I am not going to say in my brain, does this sound right? Does this sound good? I'm literally just going to write what comes to mind. And then you go back and filter and kind of qualify it later. And that's going to help your writing process times a million in every area. So,
oh, such good advice. I love that so much. And so true. Like, I think it's so like virtually impossible to do those at the same time.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Okay. So 4 and 5, I know we have two more here.
Yeah. So the fourth one is really just making sure that you have your offers story. And so this one is one that people forget a lot of times. They have the offer components, but they forget to tell the story of the offer. And so this is like your offer's hero's journey. Like, how can you think of your offer as somebody who has like come to life, and like, where did they come from? And how did you get started on it? What idea came to your brain that made it come to life? What makes you qualified to put this offer out into the world? All of that stuff kind of goes into your offer story. So I would call it like your, I just call it your offer story, but it's really like your offer's origin story. Like, how did it come to be?
So when you think about that, are you like, what context are you using that in? Are you thinking like at every touch point? So we're talking like social media captions and emails. Are you literally just talking a sales page? Like, say more there.
All of these could be in any and every touch point. So your origin story, your failure story, your audience's story, you can even tell as a post or an email or a piece of your sales page. Your offer story should definitely be on your sales page. I think that that is typically how I teach it, is that you have your qualifying section on your sales page. So you have like who this is for, and there's like a certain way to do that with asking a qualifying question at the beginning. Then you introduce your offer, and then you introduce the offer story in place of where most people just put a bio, like just put like a, hey, here's me kind of thing. But your offer story is also your story. Like, you are part of it, obviously, but it's much more in the context of, this is why this should, this is why I should matter to you right now. And I think a lot of times people have a little bit of janky or jolting kind of sales pages where they get to telling about themselves and they're like, oh, I'll just pop my bio in here. And it has nothing to do with any of the context that they just built. And it's not doing anything to bring them down to the next section in the mindset that they need to be in order to convert. So I think it's really powerful on a sales page. It's really good as a sales email. Any sales email I say should be a social post. So yeah.
I love that. So good. And I know you have one more.
Yes. So the last one is really the one that ties them all together. And that is whatever story to your offer and back. So imagine the word story, the word offer, and then like back and forth arrows there. And so you can take any of these stories that we've kind of written here, so your origin story, and plug it in for story, and then connect that to your offer. You can take your failure story and you can connect that to your offer. You can take your audience's story and connect that to your offer. And you can do the same thing backwards. So you can talk about your offer and then connect that to a story. And what that does is just give you endless content, endless storytelling content that's hyper relevant, that is really going to move people toward the conversion.
Ooh, I love that so much. And I think a really like strategic way to think about it too.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the things that you've talked about today are things that people probably already have like an inkling that they're already doing. But I think being able to almost like wrap strategy around those things is really helpful there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the main kind of takeaway that I want everyone to have from this is, I always say that connection is the conversion long game. And I think that that can sound kind of fluffy, because it sounds like, oh, you just have to like connect with people and like be nice and in people's DMs or whatever. But really, the important connection is what we're talking about here, is connecting literally everything that you're writing back to what you do. And that is such a skill that I think if you can develop that as a business owner, you're going to be able to sell anything and everything, because that's the skill of storytelling that sells. And that's like the thing right now. So yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good. So many gems that you shared with us today. So appreciate you so much for being here. If listeners love what they heard from you today, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I am Jess at Jess Jordana on Instagram. It's JessJordana. And then my website is jessicajordana.com. So that's where you can find my copywriting services, or I also have a DIY product called the Promptlets if you're writing your own copy, to kind of guide you through this process on your website, your sales pages, all the things. I think that's mostly where I'm at, Instagram and my website.
So good. Amazing. Well, thank you again. This was so, so helpful. And I know listeners are going to get so much out of this topic and just thinking about their copywriting in a whole new way. So thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to One Simple Shift. Check out the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at amandajoyceweber.com/onesimpleshift. If you're loving this podcast, do me a favor and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. These reviews truly mean the world to me, helping me to reach more people and have more impact. And as a special thanks, we'll reach out to everyone that leaves a review and you'll receive my absolutely free life and business changing Future You meditation. This mindset exercise is the simplest, easiest way to tap into future you today and start being that woman now. I only wish I had a visualization exercise like this when I first started my business, and now it's available to all of you. Simply screenshot your review and email it to me at amanda@amandajoyceweber.com to receive your free meditation. And remember, sometimes the only thing standing in the way of a more profitable business and a more fulfilling life is one simple shift. She is so grateful to be able to navigate what building and rebuilding her dream business can look like in balance with building her team. Blah, we're going to do the last sentence over.
Okay.
Jess, welcome. So blah, 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 blah. My podcast editor is going to love me here.